Hello, beloved, and welcome to part number 7, where we are looking at our weekly Bible study on spiritual warfare of the believer. Ready, part 7. Amazing. But today, what we're going to do is we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 6, specifically verse 10 and 11. So if you want to turn there in your Bibles, you're more than welcome. Because before we're going to read it, we're just going to have a word of prayer. So let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to your word. We can come to you to ask you as the living Almighty God to open up your word to us so that we can understand. And especially when we look at this spiritual battle that we are involved in. Father, we pray, please, in Jesus' name, will you open up our hearts to receive your word and our minds to understand your word so that we will be able to apply the truths of your word to our lives so that we will be effective in the spiritual war that we are involved in, the spiritual battle that we experience in our lives. Please, Father, we pray this, not because we deserve anything. Enable me as your servant to teach your people, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. Spiritual warfare of the believer. We're looking at part number 7. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. This is what the Apostle Paul says to the Ephesian believers. He says to them, "Finally, my brethren," it's kind of, he concludes his letter to the Ephesians. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And then verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." I'm just going to read up to there. Because I would like you to look with me to the threefold instruction of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesian believers here. He says, be strong in the Lord. Okay, but then he also says they need to be strong in the power of his might, and then they need to put on the whole armor of God, not just part of it, the whole armor of God, so that they will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Nah? So we see that Paul basically urges the Ephesians to find their strength in the Lord, not to find it in themselves, because when we are talking about the spiritual battle that we are involved in, the strength that we have in ourselves, physical strength, emotional strength, is not going to help us in this battle. In this battle, we need spiritual strength, and we know that spiritual strength only comes from the Lord. It's only God who gives spiritual strength. Now, for us as believers to be able to stand strong in our walk with the Lord, we will always face spiritual battles. I mean, and we will have to overcome them in the Lord's strength, not our own strength. I mean, we will face temptations. And what these temptations will try to do is to get us to sin. And when we sin, the ultimate goal for sin to come into our lives is to get us to fall. That's the purpose of sin. That's the purpose of temptation. That's the purpose of the whole war that we are experiencing and that we find ourselves in, is to tempt us to get believers to the point where they sin against God and ultimately where sinners fall. That's the intent. Beloved, the only way that we will be able to stand, you know, in this spiritual battle, and Paul says it so beautifully, is in the Lord's power. To basically rely on the strength of the Holy Spirit alone. That basically boils down to studying and obeying God's word. Because God's word is basically the truth that enables us to get victory over everything that we experience on this earth. When a temptation comes our way, how is it possible for us to overcome that temptation? When Jesus was tempted by the devil to cry out and to say to the stones to become bread so he could eat. Remember? The temptation was there to get Jesus to go against what God wanted. So Jesus replies, he says that you shall not live by bread alone. And he quotes scripture. He takes the word of God as the means of kind of challenging the lie that Satan was coming to him with. All right. Beloved, I don't think that we will ever be able to overemphasize the importance of God's word. I mean, God's word shows us the way. God's word gives us instruction. God's word reveals God's will to us, God's intentions. And it's God's word, because it's the truth, that brings down strongholds in people's lives. I mean, even in our own lives, there are always lies that has been built up against the knowledge of Christ. And it's the Word of God that breaks those lies, those strongholds that are built up by lies. It's the Word of God that breaks that down. And for us to be able to stand in the spiritual battle that we are involved in is only through the truth of God's Word. I can't overemphasize it enough. I can overemphasize it, and I think I need to, because it's only the Word of God that enables us to be able to stand in the midst of the spiritual battle that we all find ourselves in. Now, beloved, the battle that we as believers find ourselves in is against the devil. Right, we looked at that already. I think it's two parts back. But I would like us to just focus in on it a little bit today. Now, when you go to Scripture, you will find that the devil was known as the anointed cherub. We read about it in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 14. And it says, "You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones." Ooh, beautiful words. A beautiful position that this cherub had. Now, let's say it like this. Basically, a cherub is an angel who has the privilege to guard God's throne. Basically, to cover God's throne. That's the privilege that a cherub has. And the devil was one of those cherubs before he fell from grace. Now, before he fell into the temptation of trying to be like God, to climb up to the Most High God and be like Him, when pride was found in him. All right. So before the fall, before the devil fell into pride, he had the continuous and unrestricted access to the glorious presence of God. Beloved, that must have been so amazing. That basically means before he was kicked out of heaven, what an amazing position the devil had, moving to and fro from the throne of God, having access to the very presence of the Almighty God. Yeah, and then he goes and rebels against God. Sometimes this thought just goes through my mind, and I think about it, and I think to myself, why would an angel who is in the presence of the Almighty God, why would this thought come up in his mind to think that he can be like God if he sees God in all his glory, and he knows that there's no fault in God, there's nothing that you can find in God that is a problem? I just can't wrap my head around it. All right, so anyway, the devil was known basically as the anointed cherub in the presence of the Almighty God, having access to the throne of God, basically. The devil is also referred to as the ruler of the demons, which means he is the one that had the highest authority among the fallen angels. Remember when Satan fell, when he rebelled against God, he was kicked out of heaven, and a third of the angels was kicked out with him. All right, so he was basically, the Bible refers to him as the ruler of the demons, the ruler of the fallen angels, those who rebelled against God. He's also called the god of this world, now because the world worships him, basically. He's also called the prince of the power of the air. And it just basically tells us that he had an exalted position. You know, when it comes to the angelic world, he had an exalted position. He was the prince of the power of the air. That means he was a prince among the angels, the angelic beings that God created. He was a prince over them. Just amazing. And we know from Scripture that the devil opposes the work of God. It's so unfortunate, beloved, that the devil thinks that he can actually oppose the work of God. He does, obviously. There are times that we read in the book of Acts, for example, where the Apostle Paul says that the devil prevented him from going to certain places and preach the gospel. Other times we hear it's the Holy Spirit that prevented him. But there are times where the devil prevented the work of God to continue. And what the devil loves to do, And this is something that he is very, very strong on, and he's been like that through all the ages, is that he perverts God's word. The scripture teaches us about the doctrines of demons. It's these false teachings that he brings in to pervert the word of God, to change the word of God, not to mean what it actually says. But he also hinders God's servants, nah, from doing God's will. He will try all kinds of means to try to prevent God's people from doing what God wants them to do. He also hinders the preaching of the gospel. And he can do that, for example, through persecution. The Apostle Paul experienced it, where the Jews persecuted him. We know about it through all the ages, how many Christians have been persecuted, and how Satan tried to stop the spreading of the gospel through using authorities, political leaders, leaders in society to persecute the Christians so that the gospel could not go further. And the devil also tries to snare the righteous. He basically tries to get believers to sin by tempting them. So he places a snare in front of them, and he hopes that they will step into that snare and then be caught up in their sin. He does it. And he never stops. He never ceases to do that. We are awake. We understand that's how he works, because we're not ignorant of his devices. So what we do is, when we see that temptation, and that's the Holy Spirit that shows us the temptation, we are able to stand against the temptation. And the reason why is because the Holy Spirit is in us. He enables us, and we know his word, and we can stand against the temptation by using God's word. Now, what we also know, beloved, is that the devil holds the world in his power. And that's all because of Adam and Eve's sin. That's why he holds the world in his power. And you can see that he's working everywhere. He's fulfilling his purposes and his plans, the way that he wants things done. Obviously, it is under God's plans. Nah? God has the ultimate plan. God has the ultimate purposes. God has the ultimate will. And Satan can only perform his will and his purposes in as much as God allows him to perform what he wants to accomplish. God is ultimately in control. God is the one who prevents Satan from doing things that God would not allow. Now, we need to understand, beloved, that the devil is known as the fallen angel who assumes the form of an angel of light or an angel of God. So, because he knows what it looks like to be a cherub, now, to be in the presence of God, he knows how the angels function. He knows what they look like. He knows how they act. He knows what they say. He knows how they interact with human beings. He knows all those things. And because he knows those things, Satan changes himself into an angel of light. And that's the way he comes and deceives God's people. Unfortunately, he's been doing it for centuries, and he's still doing it even today. But that's the way he works. So what we do is, when we know we are in this battle, so we know what Satan is going to do is, he is going to come as an angel of light to us. He's going to come through a preacher that is teaching us something. But when we go and test what that preacher is saying, it's contrary to the word of God. That means that this person is not speaking the truth of God's word. This person is speaking deceit. This person is speaking something that comes from the devil. Whether it's a doctrine of demons, or whether it's anything that's contrary to the revealed word of God. If a person comes and teaches those things to us, we know that this is of the devil. This is not from the Lord. This is not from his word. And we reject it. So our spiritual battle in a major way is also against Satan, and bringing in all kinds of heresies, bringing all kinds of false doctrine, bringing all kinds of things, and parading himself as an angel of light in front of people, so that people think that he is the real thing, when in fact he's the devil. All right. Now, let's look at a few of the devil's characteristics. For example, scripture teaches us that the devil is presumptuous. So he oversteps his boundaries every now and then. He's certain boundaries that God has set up for him, and he tries to overstep those boundaries. In the case of Jesus Christ, he wanted Jesus to fall down and worship him. That's overstepping his boundary. So that's what he does. Satan will always try to overstep the boundaries that God has set up for him. Obviously, God will not allow him to do that. But we need to be vigilant. We need to understand that that's what Satan does because it's in his character. And in his character also, he is proud. We know that he is powerful. And he is exceedingly wicked. Huh? Then also we know that he is cynical and he's crafty. He uses deceitful means to basically accomplish his goals. And above all, I think he's one of the outstanding things about Satan is he's deceitful. Huh? He's a deceiver. He deceives people into following the lie, into accepting the lie, into believing the lie, and then to follow after that lie because he deceived people. And he's a master at it because he's had so much experience through the years, through the ages, in deceiving human beings. All right, but we also know part of his character is that he is fierce and cruel. And he acts as a cowardly, basically. That's unfortunately also one thing of the devil. Beloved, we need to understand that the devil is a being that we want nothing to do with. We want everything to do with Christ. We want everything to do with God. We want to know Christ more. We want to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to understand who God is. We want to grow in the knowledge of our Savior. We want to embrace who He is. We want to embrace what Scripture teaches. Unfortunately, we also have to know something about the enemy, the one that hates us and that wants to destroy us, so that we can be able to stand against his attacks, his schemes that he brings against us to try to get us to fall. Now, when the devil gets involved in a battle against the believer, for example, he makes use of what the Scripture teaches, wiles. Now, of wile is basically the Greek word. If you look at that, the Greek word for the word wile is basically schemes. Huh? A vile basically carries with it the idea of cleverness. With cleverness, he establishes his schemes. He works out his schemes with cleverness or crafty methods or cunningness, deception. So when you think of the word vials of the devil, then it speaks about schemes, nah? The cleverness of the devil, the craftiness, the crafty methods that he uses, the cunningness that he comes to us, and the deception that he uses. Now, one of the things that we need to understand as well about the devil is that his schemes, these wiles of the devil, they are propagated through the evil world system over which Satan rules. So a lot of these schemes that we see today that's in the world, that is in the political systems of the world, is actually schemes of the devil. And we need to have discernment to be able to discern these things. We need to be able to understand what Scripture says so that we can understand, wow, these things have been set up by the devil at the end of the day so that he can do what he wants, and it actually undermines whatever God wants. For example, let's take, for example, abortion. Women's choice, nah? Pro-choice. That's a scheme of the devil. Why? Because in the process, he can commit murder. He can kill God's people, people created in God's image. He can, destroy mankind. And he can destroy creation, something that is created beautifully, obviously touched by sin and distorted by sin. But man are still created in the image of God. And through abortion, Satan can murder little babies. And how? Through a scheme. And that scheme is legislation through governments all over the world. That's just one of them. There are many schemes of the devil that opposes God, that opposes God's people, that opposes the Word of God, that has been set up by the devil through the world system, the world system, political system, leadership, different organizations or whatever. They are all schemes of the devil. And they all directed against God and against the church, against God's people, against moral values and standards and ethical values. All right. Now, beloved, the purpose for us getting involved in the spiritual battle is so that we can be victorious. We are not involved in the spiritual battle to lose. Please, we need to understand this. We are in this battle as those who are on the side of victory, because Christ has gained the victory on our behalf. All right. So to be able to stand strong in the midst of the strong battle that is going on around us, to withstand every attack of the devil, it means that we need to have focus on we are going to be victorious. And for us to be able to be victorious, this is what Paul says to the Ephesian church, we need to put on the whole armor of God so that we can be ready for this battle, so that we can be involved in this battle, so that we can engage in this battle, and at the end of the day, be victorious in this battle. That is the purpose. The purpose for us being involved in this spiritual war is not for us to be defeated. It's not for us to fall into sin. It's not for us to experience anything of a defeat by the devil. The purpose why we're involved in the spiritual battle is to be victorious. And that victory has been won by Jesus Christ when he rose from the dead. Right? And he was victorious over sin and death and the devil and temptation and all those kind of things. We're still going to be tempted. We're still going to experience the deceit of the devil. He's still going to come to us as an angel of light. But beloved, we are not ignorant of his devices. We're not ignorant of the way that he works. So when he comes and he attacks us, when he wages his war against us, when he comes with his schemes, we can see through those schemes because we know how he works. All right, so this armor that we put on has been given to us as believers for a purpose, and that is so we'll be able to stand strong. Okay, so that you and I can stand strong in this battle that we are in. Now, God willing, next week, we're going to look at this armor that we put on as believers. All right, what is it? How does it work? God willing, next week, we will look at that. But for now, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much that we can know. We know that our battle is not against flesh and blood, that our battle is against the devil and against wickedness in evil places and the darkness of this world. We know that this is a fight against truth and error and lies. Father, thank you so much that in Christ there is victory, that we are on the victorious side because Christ already conquered sin and death and the devil when he rose from the grave. And Father, thank you so much that this battle, the war has been won. But in the battles that we are still involved in, thank you that we can also be victorious in those battles. I pray that you will enable each one of us, Father, as we go through this week, to be able to stand strong so that at the end of the day, we will be able to be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, our Lord. As I pray in Jesus' precious name, amen. Beloved, thank you very much for listening. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. And may he give you his peace. God willing, until next time, bye-bye.